chapter number 45 this morning. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. We'll read the first 6 verses, and then we'll spend a few moments on that, and then we'll dismiss and go to your favorite place to eat and go home and take it easy for a little bit. Amen? Isaiah 45, as we begin reading on God's Word, I've been thinking, what am I thankful for? I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. What am I thankful for? What am I thankful for? I'm thankful that there's nobody like Him. I'm thankful there ain't nobody like Him. There ain't nobody like Jesus. Amen? Hey, I got some good friends, but they ain't nothing like Jesus. Hey, I got a good wife, I'm telling you, but she ain't nothing like Jesus. I got a good daughter, but boy, she ain't nothing like Jesus. Hey, I got a good church home here, but hey, y'all ain't nothing like Jesus. This morning, I just want to take a few moments to brag on how good God is. Amen? Just how good God is. I don't want to brag on nothing else but how good God is. You know that you're a sinner saved by grace. I know I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I know I sin every day, and you do too. But this morning, I want to take a few moments just to tell you, there ain't no God like Jehovah. Amen? Ain't no God like Jehovah. I remember my brother Kevin and sister Kim talked to you that ain't no God like Jehovah, something like this. And Kaylee was a little bitty thing. She ain't even got the youth group yet. But I look back on my videos this week and had a lot of time since Brandy had surgery. I had a lot of time to look through things. And we was down there at the original Oyster House at the beach. And she was a little bitty thing. She told me and Brandy said, look what I've learned. And she'd sit over there and she'd say, there's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. She wasn't but about 10 years old. Get her up there to do that now, she probably wouldn't. But I thank God that she knows and I know and you know that there ain't no God like Jehovah. Amen? Isaiah chapter number 45 and verse number 1, the King James Bible says, thus saith the Lord to His anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, subdue nations before him, and I will loose the lines of kings to open before him the 2 levied gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. Amen. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut asunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of the secret places that thou mayest not know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside Jehovah. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Verse number 18 at the end, the Bible says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. Hey, verse number 21 at the end, the Bible says, there is none beside me. And verse number 22, the Bible says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Oh, Heavenly Father God, I thank You that You're God this morning. I thank You that You're God. I thank You that I can brag on You, Father, and You won't never let me down. Lord God, I can just lift You up so high this morning, and Father God, You won't never fall. Hey, we may lift a man up and he'll let us down every time, but God, we can lift You up and brag on You, and You won't never let us down. And Father, I pray for the next few moments that this church will be thankful that we got a God. Hey, there ain't no God like Him. There's nobody like this God that I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost of heaven, Father. Lord, I'm talking about the King of Kings. I'm talking about the only potentate, the only one that there is this morning. There is no other God besides Jehovah this morning. Father, I love You. I thank You that You let me stand one more time behind a sacred desk this morning and brag on You, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I ask You to guard my throat, guard my thoughts for the next few moments. Let us be thankful when we leave this place. I ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated this morning as we come here to Isaiah chapter number 45. We see that Isaiah wrote that there ain't nobody like Him. That there ain't no God like Jehovah. He is the only God. And I don't know about you, but I thank Him for that this morning. I thank You this morning that He don't take second place to nobody. It ain't up for the vote if He is God. It doesn't matter what your opinion is. He is still God. It doesn't matter what the atheist thinks about Him. He is still God. It doesn't matter what the President of the United States thinks. He is still God this morning, and He is my God. Amen. Hey, this morning as we read the Bible, I want you to understand in verse number 1 when we get here, He said, "The Lord to His anointed, to Cyrus." And I want to give you this morning. Cyrus was a Gentile here. He was a Gentile just as you and I are this morning. And there's some things this morning that he knew about God. Hey, can I say Isaiah knew some things about God? And he knew some things that would help him in a mighty way. I don't know about you this morning. I don't know a lot about him, but I do know this. That He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is my King. He is my all in all. He is the one that steps up when nobody will. He is the one that takes care of me when all the taking care needs to be done. He is the one that provides my need when I was headed to a devil's hell. Hey, I didn't go looking for Him, but He come looking for me. Hey, He reached down from heaven and sent Jesus from glory and hung Him on an old rugged cross and put Him in a borrowed tomb. I'm talking about this God this morning. And on the third day, He arose Him out of that grave. That same Spirit that rose Him from the grave, Brother J.D., hey, He lives inside of me. Can I get an amen? And this morning, I want to give you four things that I see in this text, Brother J.D., that set me on fire, that got my heart pumping, got my blood racing, and got me ready to come behind this sacred desk. Can I say to you, number one, hey, that we got a hand that holds us. That's how big His hand is. We got a hand that holds us even when we think we're falling, or even when we think I can't keep going on. We got a hand that holds us. Look with me in verse number one at this hand that holds. Look what He says. He said, "I have homes to subdue nations before Him, and I will the lines of kings to open before Him. The two levy gates and the gates shall not be shut." Can I say to you this morning that this God I'm talking about, there's nobody like Him, because He's got a hand that holds. He's got a hand that'll hold you when you don't know what to do. You say, "Preacher, what kind of hand does He got?" I want to say to you this morning, He's got an open hand. You remember old Peter when he was out there on the water and he wanted to walk to Jesus. And he got going out through there, and the water, it became boisterous. You know what old Peter did? He took his eyes off God and got looking at his problems. And it wasn't long when he started looking away from Jesus. You know what happened? He began to sing. He began to go down. Can I say to you as your pastor, if you get your eyes off God, you're going to start going down. Hey, you get your eyes off God and you're going to go under. Hey, but I got good news. He's still standing there. Hey, He's still right there in the midst. He's still right there where old Peter was. He had an open hand, and it said He stretched forth a hand and pulled him out of that water. I thank God this morning that He's got a hand that holds, don't you? Oh, He's got an open hand. But I think about also, if you'll turn with me to Luke chapter number 8 and verse number 54, they ain't no God like Him. Amen. Hey, there's no God like Him. He reaches down when we need Him. He reaches up when we need Him. And Luke this morning, chapter number 8 and verse number 54, I want to share this with you this morning. Not only did He have an open hand, but He has an overcoming hand. Hey, this morning you may be feel like you're overwhelmed and the things of this world has got you down. I got good news. He's got an overcoming hand. Not only is His hand He's got is open and outreach to you, but He'll overcome some things that is in your life. Brother Garrett, you remember the story of Jairus. He went to where Jesus was, and when he got going to where Jesus was, there was people that got in his way. There was a woman with an issue of blood that jumped right in front of Jairus, and he thought his blessing had been stopped. Can I give you good news this morning? He can deal with two or three people at the same time. Woo! Glory! It don't matter. He can deal with his whole church at the same time. That's the God I'm talking about this morning. You say, if He grabs my hand, will He grab your hand? Friends, I want you to know He got a big old hand. Amen. Man, He got a big old hand. He'll hold what you can't hold. He'll take what you can't take. And He'll deliver you from what you can't deliver yourself from. You know what they told Jairus though? They said, "Bother the master no more. Your daughter is dead." bother the master no more. Your daughter is dead. Your daughter, I'm talking about a God. Hey, when the doctors give up on you, there's one greater than they. Amen. Hey, they're practicing medicine. He knows medicine. Amen. He is the great physician. Look with me, if you will, to Luke chapter number 8 and verse number 54. And here's what he said. And he had put them all out. Who did he put out? He put out the naysayers. He put out the ones that didn't understand. He put out the ones that couldn't get a hold of it. He put out the ones that said, don't worry the master. Don't worry Jesus. You got cancer, you'll just die with it. Hey, you got a broken home, you'll just die with it. Don't bother Jesus. Can I say to you this morning, if you got a problem, I'm talking about a God, ain't nobody like Him. Amen. Wow, glory. Look what He says. But I heard them boys preach on that radio. I heard you and Brother Bradley, son, I was getting fired up, ready to preach. You hear me? Just keep sitting there. I'll get over this in a little bit, I promise. I promise. I'll get over it. Luke 8:54, look what he says. He's got a hand that holds JD. And he put them all out and took her by the hand. Can I remind you, she was dead, they said. I'm looking at somebody here this morning. You think, preacher, I'm dead meat. I'm dead. Spiritually, I'm dead. Can I say He'll help your unbelief this morning? He'll help you if you think you're dead. He'll help you if you think you're way past gone. He'll help you if you're laying there and nobody else can. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." That means get up. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. God, can I say to you this morning, He's got a hand that holds, even when you don't understand, He's got a hand that'll hold you. Ain't no God like this God. Amen? Let me show you this in verse number 2 as we move on throughout the text. In verse number 1, we see that He had a hand that held. But can I say to you, number 2, that He's got a hedge that's all the way around us. He's got a hedge that's all the way around us. It ain't a small hedge. It ain't a block hedge. It ain't a tree hedge. It ain't no kind of hedge you've ever seen. You know what He does? He said, "In my Father's hand, I command in my spirit." That's what Jesus said. He gave that spirit over. But He also said this. He said this right here. When you get saved, that you're in His hand. And no man's able to pluck you out of the Father's hand. As you're in my hand, I'm in the Father's hand. He said, "I want to tell you about this hedge. There ain't no God like Him. Hey, I ain't nothing like Him. There's nobody like Him. He's got a hedge on your life like you can't believe. Brother Jim Leeper laying over there at Tupelo, Mississippi, almost dead. But I want you to know, it wasn't no doctor and it wasn't no nurse. It wasn't no prayer that I prayed. It was the hand to God that reached down and touched your body. Hey, brought you up from that place. Can I get an amen? Hey, He said He's got a hand that'll reach out, but He's got a hedge that is all the way around us. You say, "Preacher, what does that mean?" That means when hell comes at you and it's throwing everything it can and it's on your back and it won't get off, you know what He says? He said, "Let hell come, but I got a hedge around Him. I got it all the way around Him, and I'm not going to quit doing what I've done in His life." He said, "I want you to know He's got a hand that's stretched out." But He said He got a hedge all the way around. Look what He said, verse number 2. He said He takes the crooked place. He takes the crooked places and He makes them straight. What does that mean, preacher? Let me give you a Detroit term. What was crooked, He straightens it out. I'd be like God taking Hatley Detroit. Can I get a witness? I can't wait till the day He straightens that road out. Can you? Going from Detroit to Amory. He'd take that road, He'd straight. That's how it's going. That's how my life was. My life was so crooked. You'd get in the car with me riding. You'd be nauseated, sick. Have to have something, some Phenergan or something to ride with me. Man, my life was all over. My poor old wife was behind me trying to lead me to Jesus. I was going here and I was going there. All crooked, Brother JD. All outdone and no good. All worthless and not worth anything. But He reached down when there wasn't nothing and found something and made something out of it. You see, why'd He do that? Because He's got a hand that can do it. He'll take that crooked life you got and He'll straighten it right out. He'll set it on a straight path. He says, "Straight is the way and narrow is the path that leads to righteousness." And straight and narrow is what you got to be on. He says, "Not only got a hand, but He's got a hedge." Said a little girl one time heard her daddy was out. They was out in the middle of a field and they started a brush fire. And said they looked up and the brush fire had got out. And it was going all the way around them. And it was starting to cave in on them and come closer and closer and closer and closer the brush fire was. And said she looked at her daddy and said, "Daddy, what are we going to do? The fire's coming." Said, "Don't worry, hon. We'll put a hedge around us." Said, "You get right here and stand right beside me now." Said they stood there and he took it and he drew out a big old circle. And then he lit that circle, and they stood out, and everything in that circle burned up. They stomped it out all the way around them, got back in that circle. She said, Daddy, what's it going to do? Said, when that fire gets here, hey, ain't nothing left to burn. Hey, it's all done been took care of. Hey, can I say to you this morning as your pastor, it was a day in my life. Hey, hell was burning down, and it was getting hot, and it was coming all around me. And you know what Jesus said? He said, my son went to the cross, and he drew a circle. He said, if you'll get in here, if you'll get in the blood, I promise you, no matter what comes, there'll always be a hedge around you. Does it keep the fire from coming? Why, Lord, no. But it sure gives me a hedge to keep it away. Amen. Let me show you this in the Bible. You say, preacher, I don't know about that hedge. Oh, Job. Turn with me, if you will, to Job chapter number 1 and verse number 10. Oh, Job knew about a hedge. He knew about a ham, but he knew about a hedge. Turn with me, if you will, to Job chapter number 1. I'm talking to somebody this morning, I hope, and says, preacher, I just don't know about this guy. I've prayed and prayed and prayed, and I'm still broke. What does that matter? What does that matter? Preacher, I ain't got no money. What does that matter? Who says you better than anybody else to be broke? Preacher, I've been praying. I got problems. Who, what does it matter? Who are you? That don't change who he is. Preacher, I got so many problems. You don't understand. That don't change who he is. Preacher, you don't know what I'm going. That don't change who he is. I'm telling you about a God that can do anything in anybody's life. If you'll get to that place, you'll say, man, I want you to know I want that God in my life. He's got a hand that holds me, and he's got a hedge around me. You remember when Job come on trial? You know the trial wasn't about Job? Job never was in this trial, Brother Hagin. He got caught up in it, but he wasn't in it. You know what the battle was between Satan and the Lord? It said, and when the sons of God come, here come old Satan. You know he'll put his nose where it don't belong. You believe that this morning? God start putting his hand on your family. You see the hand of God all over your family. You see a hedge around your family. All of a sudden, old Satan, he'll stick his nose right where it don't belong. I hate that joker, don't you? And you know what old Job did? Job didn't curse God and die. You know, even his wife said, won't you just curse God and die? No, he wouldn't do that. He said, because there ain't no God like Jehovah. Folks, this morning, I want you to know there ain't no God like him. Amen. My mama laying up there in Hamilton, and hey, she gets out, amen. Hey, whenever God releases her from that place, amen. She's there for a reason. But you say, preacher, I hate that. Hey, what's the difference in my family and your family, somebody laying up there? Hey, it don't matter. There's no respecter of persons. Trials come my way, and they come your way. But his hand is still enough, and his hedge always works. Look at me in Job 1:10. And here's what Satan said. Satan knows that there's a hedge around you. Brother Lee Markham, Satan knows there's a hedge around you. Brother J.D., he knows. Brother Kevin, he knows there's a hedge around this place. He knows it. And if there's one thing Satan wants to tear down at Union Chapel, is the hedge of God that's around this place. That's what he wants to tear down. I've heard people talk about when they pull off the concrete, man, and how the Spirit of God's real in this place. Man, I've been places where I didn't feel what I feel here. Man, listen to me. Satan knows it. He knows there ain't no God like Jehovah. Because that's why he wanted to be just like him. Because he said, everybody, if they get a hold of this God, it can change things. Look what he said in Job 1:10. Has thou not made an hedge about him? It's Satan talking. Man, there's times I should have been dead, and you too. There's some men in this room, I guarantee you've done stuff at work that should have killed you, and you didn't know why you didn't made it out. Maybe you was in a car wreck and it was so bad. Jeffrey, maybe you was in a car wreck, Miss Jeffries, so bad you're supposed to die over at Memphis. And nobody understands how you're in this congregation this morning. But God does. Amen? They don't understand what's going on. They don't understand. And it's the hedge of God. It's the hedge of God this morning around this place. Look what he says. Hast thou not made a hedge about him? Daddy, if you're a daddy in here, you pray for that hedge to be over your house. If you're a daddy in here and you don't pray for your hedge around your house, you ain't worth your salt. You ain't worth your salt if you don't pray for your kids and your wife and your family. You ain't worth your salt. Well, I'm saved, going to heaven. What good is that if your family goes to hell? What good is that if you lead your family in false ways? You lead them in the right way. I provide for them, preacher. They got everything they need. They don't want for nothing. I buy them what they want. What good is that if the hedge of God ain't around your home? Oh, folks, listen to me this morning. I'm preaching from my heart this morning. You make sure you pray for your family. Don't leave it up to the pastor to pray for them. Don't leave it up to the deacons or anybody else. You make sure you pray for your family. But what he says in verse 10, hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house? and about all that he has on every side. Yeah, he has. Yeah, he has. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Satan said, I know why he's getting blessed. It ain't by the way he's living or what he's doing, Brother Garrett. Don't never let it get to be about me or you or anybody. It ain't about us. It's all about him. If you're blessed in this place, it ain't because you worked hard and you know how to work and you're a good worker. And you, No. Well, I'm so smart. Bob will eat you alive. You think you're that smart. It ain't never been about you. It ain't never been. It's about him. It's about him this morning. And here's what he said. He said, I know that that hedge is all around him. He didn't say Job was tough. He didn't say Job was the man of the hour. He said that hedge of God, he's got his hand on that old boy. He's got the hedge all around him. Can I give you something else though? Brother BJ don't only have a hand of God on him and a hedge around him, but I got a helper inside of me. I got a helper inside of me. And it's the Holy Ghost of heaven, Brother Jake. You done slid over there. You done moved. You done moved over there, so I didn't call your name. I like your name, Jake. That's easy. They named me BJ because I couldn't spell. Made it easy at school, amen? I'll tell you about this helper that sent us in verse number 3. You come in this morning, you say, what kind of God do you serve? I serve a God that's got a hand that can help us. It's put a hedge around us and put a helper on the inside of us. I've seen the hand of God on saved people, and I've seen the hand of God on lost people. I have. I've seen the hedge of God on saved people, and I've seen the hedge of God on lost people. So how do you know that, preacher? Here's how I know. I know people that are saved and people in their family that's lost. And that same hedge, they're getting the blessings from that same hedge and that same hand. But if you're lost in this morning, it stops there. If you're lost, you just got the hand of God and you got the hedge of God from somebody else, maybe living in your home. But to get the helper, talking about the Holy Ghost. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Look at me in verse number 3 about the helper. I see the hand, I see the hedge, but I see the helper in verse number 3. And the Lord said, let me go back to the text, I'm sorry. Isaiah 45 in verse number 3, and here's what he said. I will give thee treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by name, am the God of Israel. This morning, I see the hand of God, I see the hedge of God, but I see the helper that is in us. He takes that hand, he takes that hedge, and when you get born again, he puts that helper right where he needs to be, right into your heart. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. I said, preacher, how did I get that helper? By his mercy, by his grace, not by your goodness or who you are, by his mercy and by his grace. He said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take treasures out of the dark places. I'm going to take treasures out of the dark places. I've seen God. I've seen people pull up to my home. My wife be a testimony of this. People that are not saved when we was building this building. People that were not saved, did not attend church anywhere, pull up to my home, knock on the door, hand me $1,000 cash, say give it to the building fund, and walk off with tears rolling down their face, begging them to let me talk to them about Jesus, and they did not want to talk about Jesus. They said, there's something on me and I got to get it off of me. What was on them? The Spirit of God, and they was trying to get out of it any way they could. Can I say to you, money won't get you out of it. Your name won't get you out of it. What gets me out of it, preacher? The blood of Jesus Christ. But God, who was rich in mercy, he was rich in mercy. That is that helper that's inside of us, that Holy Spirit that comes and he lives inside of us. This morning, Sister Vicki and Brother Brent talked about being the vine and the branch, and he said, we can't do nothing. He said, well, I can do something. No, you can't do nothing. Yes, I can. No, the Bible says you can't do nothing without him. Now, what you do may be good and it may be acceptable to man, but without the blood, nothing you do will be acceptable to God. Only the blood is he accepted, makes things acceptable to him. It's my blood. It's my blood. If it was my plan to save people, all we would do is baptize. All we would do who's baptized. We wouldn't have them to no way to admit that they're a sinner, believe that Jesus Christ hung and died on an old rugged cross, that he was rose again on the third day, and have them to confess that, ask him to come in their heart. There's no way we'd have that done. We'd just say baptism, it'd be so easy. But you know what was even harder than confession? Is when he went to the cross. He went to the cross not for us. He went to the cross as us. If you only look that he went to the cross for us, you're going to miss a little bit of what really happened. But if you realize he was nailed on that cross, put there as you, as John Stidham, John Stidham 2,000 years ago, he forgive your sins, past, present, and future, and he hung you on the cross, he hung Brother BJ on the cross, he hung Brother Jim on the cross, he hung Brother Mike on the cross, and he bled and died on that cross as us. He took our sin, he took our shame, he took our punishment on the cross. There's no God like him. Muhammad didn't do that. Buddha didn't do that. Huh? There ain't no priest going to do that. There's no preacher in the United States of America can do that. I'm telling you, there ain't no God like him. And when I get in my little narrow-minded pity party, all I have to do is remind myself that there just ain't no God like him. Brother JD, there just ain't no God like him. I see that he's got a hand that's under me, holding me up. Man, I couldn't stay up. I had to. I'd drown. Kaylee was little, and we was in Pigeon Forge. She's a little bitty thing. And I told her, I said, baby, you're going to learn how to swim. Daddy, how did I learn how to swim? He said, you just got to jump in. I said, Daddy, I'm going to do it with my floaties on. I said, okay, put your floaties on. I said, Daddy, you get right down here in front. Daddy, you get right down here in front. I said, okay, I'll get right down here in front. We're in the mountains, man. We're supposed to be over at Fanny Farkle's getting a hot dog. We're not swimming. But anyway, y'all ain't never ate a Fanny Farkle hot dog. Gatlinburg, Tennessee, on the left on the way going in. Got an arcade room in the back. Y'all ain't never ate there? Y'all have got too serious this morning. Loosen up a little bit. Loosen up a little bit. There's still hope for you. There's still hope for me. She got up there and she jumped in. We was in about 5 foot, 5.5 foot water, Brother Kevin, about right here. I'm about 5'7", 5'8", ain't much over there. About right here. She'd jump in that pool and she'd about drown me. And every time she'd jump in, I'd grab her and where would my hand go? Right under. I didn't grab her on the head to try to save her. No. When she jumped in, I grabbed my hand right up underneath her. And I said, baby, you're going to have to take off them floats because you're not really trusting in what I can do to save you and help you. You're going to have to take off them floats and you're just going to have to jump. She said, I'm going to do it, Daddy. I said, are you going to do it? She said, I'm going to do it, Daddy. I promise you, I'm going to do it. But do you got me? I said, baby, I got you. I promise you, I got you. She took them little arm floats off. She had on a pink bathing suit hanging on the refrigerator right now. Little bee thing. What you proud of, you hang on to, amen? What you proud of, you hang up where everybody can see. What you're proud of, you don't hide it. You hang it up where you can see it. You hang it up where everybody can see. She got to that edge, and for 30 minutes. There's somebody here this morning, by the way, you're right on the edge. And for 30 minutes, you've been listening to this message, and you said, man, I wish I knew that God. I know that God, but I wish I just trusted in that God. That his hand would be enough. That his hedge around me would be enough. Oh, I wish I had that kind of faith. It don't take much. If it did, I couldn't have it. It takes just a little, because I don't have a whole lot. I don't have a whole lot of faith. But he said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. All you got to have is just that, but you know, just a little bit, not much. And he gives everybody a portion of faith. A portion, a little bit. 30 minutes, she stood on that side, Brother J.D. And said, baby, you're going to have to jump. Daddy, get closer. Daddy, get closer. I got so close, I was right up against the wall. And she said, Daddy, is that as close as you can come? I said, baby, that's as close as I can come. But you're going to have to jump. This morning, I'm talking to somebody. But you need to meet this God I'm talking about. You need to rely on this God I'm talking about. He said, well, what? Can he not do it? He's come as close as he can come this morning. He can't come no closer. He's as close as he can come to you. He can't come no. He can't just come in. He's a complete gentleman. He can't just come on in. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. My hands are knocking. My hedge is ready. And I'll put a helper in you. But you're going to have to jump. He said, I'm as far as I can come. It's all left up to you. The last thing I see in the text is this. There's a hope on me. There's a hope that's on me. There's a hope that is on me. You say, what is that hope, preacher? Look in verse 4 and verse number 5. What is that hope that is on me? Here's what he said. He said, I knew you when you didn't even know me. Almost like he knows what's going on. Amen. He said, before I surnamed you, before you ever knew anything about me. My wife, before we got dating, I found out a lot about her before she even knew my name. I scouted it out, if you would, Brother Les. I didn't care really how she acted. I was worried all about the looks. I said, she's pretty hot. Brother Jared, can I get amen? You fix to be married? You wouldn't marry no ugly one? No, no. There ain't no man in this room married an ugly woman. No. No. Scouted it out. Got to looking. This morning, can I say God's scouting it out this morning? He's looking all around this place. There's no God like him. He's got a hand that can hold you. He's got a hedge that's around you. And if you'll let him, he'll put a helper inside of you. And he'll put a hope that's on you. That hope will rest down on you like you've never seen. All the world's going crazy. Everything's going crazy. Said, preacher, you in a turmoil? I sure ain't no turmoil. Only when I get my eyes off him and get my eyes on the world is when it becomes a turmoil. This morning I want to ask you one question before we have a time of invitation. Have you been trusting that hand of God? Have you been relying on the hedge of God? And does that helper live inside of you? Because there's a hope that's on you. They said at the bottom of Africa that when you go around through there at the very end, it was very tough, rough sailing. Some of the teachers may know what I'm talking about. And said when you went around Africa, the furthest tip, and you went around it, a lot of sailors lost their life because it was so dangerous and so rough. The waters, the currents, when they meet there, how rough it is. And those with very little hope didn't make it. But said there was a sailor that went through there one time and found if you just went a little north of where they was going, that you could get through very safely and make it. And now they call that point the point of good hope. They didn't die no more because they found hope. This morning you don't have to die the way you are because there's hope in Jesus Christ. Because somebody, his name's Jesus, made the only way. Not the best way, not the better way. Because if it was the best or better, there'd be another. He made the only way. There's no other God like I know. There is no other God like Jehovah. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name for the ones that are sitting there. Lord God, right now, I'm thankful this Thanksgiving season that there's no God like you. Lord God, you sit down when nobody else will with me. Father God, you talk to me when everybody else is away and don't want to talk. Father God, you meet when nobody wants to meet. Father, you meet needs when nobody can meet a need. I can't even cry the need out. Lord God, you meet that need. And I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you that you put your hand on my wife this week and you saved her life, Lord God. And you're going to do the same for my mama, Lord God. There's people in this room right now that needs to let the hand of God get on their life, Father. They need to get around that hedge around their family and quit letting Satan steal what you've given them, Father. Oh, God, let the helper help us this morning. Let it help our infirmities. Let it help our weakness when we don't know what to say. In Romans 8, you give us utterance. That's right. The Spirit helps us. Lord God, whoever's lost a little bit of hope, I pray they get the hope back. And Lord, to know that there's no other God like you. Father, you bless this service real good. And we'll be careful to always brag on you here at Union Chapel Baptist Church. And Lord God, if we ever stop bragging on you, let us not be a church. Let this building not stand no more if we quit bragging on you. Because it's all about who you are. In Jesus' holy, precious name, all of God's people said, amen. Amen.